There we go. Hare Krishna. Bosechi. I have sat down here, Shangira, of having your company, Ashe, in the hope of having your company. Bosechi. Shangira Ashe. I've sat down here hoping to have your company. So this is talking tonight about how devotional service is not mechanical. It comes from special mercy. So this line here especially struck me that the devotee is saying, I'm sitting down here just hoping for your company. And just by the association of the Vaishnav, we can make advancement in devotional service. Can anybody back that up with some shastra? It only counts on a scale of 1 to 10. There's 1, which is barely counting, and then 10 counts full credit. You get a 1 if you say whatever word you say without the microphone. And when you use the microphone to broadcast, it's the Brihat Madanga, you get a 10.
Saru Sanga, Saru Sanga, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lova Matra Saru Sanga, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That just a moment association of a sadhu can give you full perfection. So therefore, get sadhu sangha, get sadhu sangha, get sadhu sangha.
Thanks. Just by the association of sadhu, just even for a little bit, even for a fraction of a moment, then we can attain all perfection. Yes. Another one?
Not the direct one, but in a nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami says 6 principles that are favorable to the devotion service. And one of them is following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. It's kind of indirect. And another one is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he explained...
Tell me why you think it's indirect. Why that works, following the footsteps of previous acharyas. Say more about that and why you said it, you thought it was indirect.
I said indirect because it just says these are favorable to the devotional service. Maybe it is direct.
So. We're talking about association with sadhus, and you said following in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
So is that direct or indirect? Say if we don't have their personal association, but we follow in their footsteps,
mm-hmm.
Is that direct or indirect?
That is direct.
How so? If it's not, you're not getting direct association.
Even if one gets a direct association, what's more important is following the instructions rather than just being in a physical proximity.
How do you know? Are there any examples or any praman for that? Pundit, give him the mic. You pass. Examples.
Both are equally important, or both are important. That doesn't mean that if there is a pure devotee in town, then we just follow his, we read his book and then anyway neglect him. But the fact of the matter is that the examples of the devotees who are following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada are sitting right in front of us in the temple room. Yourself and Satyadeva Prabhu, who are following the orders of Srila Prabhupada, even though he's disappeared from our physical presence for so many years now.
Can you give me something from Shastra? Is this an example?
Well, the example, going back to Sadhu Sangha, is 118. This is the direct association, is 118.13 from the Shloka book, which is Tulyama Lavenapi, which kind of goes in with what Jay Prabhu said here.
Okay, Go ahead.
But then I'm just thinking of any example which kind of says that just the indirect association. Any indirect association is better than direct association is something which I haven't come across, because both are equally important. But one cannot say that because there is no physical association doesn't mean that one fails to neglect the orders, which are also equally there. The other example is there is from the first page of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Srila Prabhupada says that, dedicated to my spiritual master, that his follower lives eternally with him through his instructions. So that is one example from Shastra where it is said that the indirect association is there. I'm sorry, I'm not making a whole lot of cohesive sense here, so because my thoughts are a little...
Well, I'm thinking in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, first chapter, is the 35th verse in the third paragraph, I think it is, that Srila Prabhupada says that in the absence of this physical absence of the spiritual master, the instruction becomes his life and soul. Also, in the 10th canto, when the demigods go to pray to Krishna, headed by Lord Brahma, they receive confirmation. They sing the Purushukta, and then the answer came into the heart of Brahma, the instruction, and then they carried out the instruction to appear on the earth to assist the Lord in his pastimes. And
Uddhava's remembrance of Lord in the third canto, though Lord was not there at that point of time, but still the remembrance was so strong that he felt the presence of the Lord right there.
Yes.
I was thinking along the same line of Arjuna's remembrance of Krishna after Krishna had left.
Good.
And he kind of lost all his powers and everything, but by remembering these instructions, he gained his spiritual strength again.
It says all the trash in his mind subsided.
Subsided, yeah.
He remembered the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, even though Krishna had already gone. And then we know that the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Ganadi Bhisaha Kalu Nashtya Dushamesha Purar Narako Donodita. Just after Lord Krishna has departed for his own abode, Srimad Bhagavatam is descended as the incarnation to give us the light of the spiritual world, take us back home, back to Godhead. So following the instruction, Srila Prabhupada said it himself that he got some, not a lot of personal association with his spiritual master, but he did get instruction. And by taking full advantage of that instruction from his spiritual master, he said he was never separated. He was always with his spiritual master. Yes?
I was thinking about the crocodile's association with Gajendra.
He was
holding him for thousands of years, holding his leg for thousands of years. That was some kind of an association?
Yes. That's why the crocodile got liberation. It's because he was at the feet of Gajendra, even though he was biting. So grab on to the feet of a Vaishnava somehow or other, even with your teeth if you have to.
I got one more.
Okay.
Just as the food is the life of all the creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as the religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into the miserable condition of life.
Thank you.
So I was thinking, Bashi Sangirash, how the devotees are the refuge.
And can you say where that's from?
It's from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26-33. This was passed out by you at the dead.
Oh, good. Yes.
This conversation reminds me one verse from 11th canto. It says like, Durlabho manuso deho, dehi naam kshana bhanguraha, tatrava durlabham manye, vaikuntha priya darshanam. I believe Nimi Maharaj is praising one of the Nav Yogendras in that context. I mean, I just imagine.
What verse number is it?
I don't know which verse. Is it 11th canto?
Which chapter?
Chapter 2, I believe.
That's a great verse, and we'd like to have it. Thank you. While he's looking that up, we'll chant Divinity and Divine Service on this paper that we just passed out. This is the second chapter of the first canto. Vyasuvacha iti samprashna samprishto vipranam romaharshanihi pratipuja vachastesham pravaktum upachakrame sutuvacha yam pravajantam anupetam apetakrityam dvaipayano viraha kartada ajuhava putreti tanmayatayataravo binedus tam sarva bhuta hridayam unim anatosmi yak svanu bhavam akila shuti saramekam adhyatma dipam atititir shatam tamondam samsarinam karuna yaha purana kuhyam tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum uninam narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narotamam devim sarasatim vyasam tato jayam udhiraye munayak sadhu prishtoham bhavadbhir lokamangalam yakrita krishna samprashno inatma suprasidati savai pumsam parodharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahaitukhiya pratiyata yayatma suprasidati vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayat yashu vairagyam yanam chayada haitukam dharma svanustita pumsam vishvaksena katasuyaha notpadayed yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam dharmasya hyapavargasya nartorta yopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamola bhaya hismritaha kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jignasa narto yascheha karmabhi vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajgyana badvayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite tashchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktar shruta grahitaya atapumbir dvijasreshta varnashrama vibhagashaha svanustistasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam tasmadekena manasa bhagavan sattvatampatihi shotavya kirtitavyascha dhyeya pujascha nityada yad anudyasina yukta karma kranti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat kataratim Padrani vitunoti suritsatam nashta praishu padreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki tadara rajastamo bhava kamaloba dayashchaye cheta eter anavidham sitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangha sajayate vidyate rye krantish chijante sarvasamshayaha shiyante tasya karmani drishtai vatmanishvare ato vai kavayo nityam bhaktim paramaya muda vasudeve bhagavati kuravantyatma prasadanim sa eka iha siddhate stityare hari varinchi hariti samja shayam sitatva kalu sattva nanor nirnam su. Let's do that one again because it fell apart miserably. Let's start over. Sam rajastamayiti prakriter gunastair yukta para purusha eka iha siddhate stityare hari varinchi hariti samja shayam si tatva kalu sattva tanor nrinam suhu partiva darano tumas tasmadagni strayi mayaha tamasastu rajastasmat sattvam yad brahma darshanam bhejare munayotagre Bhagavan tamadhoksajam sattvam vishuddham shemaya kalpante yenutaniha mumukshavo gaurarupan hitva bhuta patinata narayana kalashanta bhajanti yanasuyavaha. Vastama prakritaya samashila bhajanti vai pitrir bhuta bhajeshadhin shriyaishvarye prajepsavaha vasudeva paraveda vasudeva paramakaha vasudeva parayoga vasudeva parakriyaha vasudeva param jnanam vasudeva param tapaha Vasudeva paragyamo, Vasudeva paragatihi, Saevedam sasarjagre, Bhagavan atmamayaya, Sarasadrupaya chaso, Gunamaya guno vibhu, Daya vilasiteshveshu, Guneshu gunavaniva, Antakravishta abhati, Vijnanena vrajamritaha Granhir darushveka sayonishu Naneva bhati vishvatma Uteshu cha tatapuman Kunamayer bhaver Bhuta sukshmendriyatma bihi Sa nirmiteshu nirvishto Bhunkte bhuteshu tadgunan Avayatishmatmena Lokan vai lokabhavanaha Lilava taranurato Devatiryan naradishu. Can you see that page? Iti Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurani Paramahamsyam Samhitayam Pratang Skande Naimishiyo Prakyani Dvitiyo Adhyayaha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Okay, now how about that verse? 11:229. Okay, go right ahead. You need a microphone, otherwise you only get 1 point out of 10.
Recite the verse or translation?
Translation.
The translation is, for the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha.
Nice. Purport.
According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word Dehi Nam means Bhavo Deha Bhavanti Yesam Te. The conditioned souls who accept innumerable material bodies. According to some wistful thinkers, a living entity in the human form of life will never be degraded to a lower form such as that of an animal or plant. But despite this wistful thinking, it is a fact that according to our activities at the present, we will be elevated or degraded by the laws of God. At the present time in human society, there is no clear or precise understanding of the nature of life. Foolish scientists have invented highly sophisticated terminologies and theories to bluff innocent people into believing that life comes from chemical reactions. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has exposed this bluff in his book, Life Comes from Life, which points out that although scientists claim that life comes from chemicals, they cannot produce so much as an insect, even from unlimited quantities of chemicals. Actually, life and consciousness are symptoms of the spirit soul. In Life Comes from Life, page 43, Srila Prabhupada has stated, living beings move from one bodily form to another. The forms already exist. The living entity simply transfers himself just as a man transfers himself from one apartment to another. One apartment is first class, another is second class, and another is third class. Suppose a person comes from a lower class apartment to a first class apartment. The person is the same, but now, according to his capacity for payment or karma, he is able to occupy a higher class apartment. Real evolution does not mean physical development, but development of consciousness. Within every species of life, there is consciousness, and that consciousness is the symptom of the living entity, who is the superior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without understanding this essential point of the transmigration of the conscious living entity throughout 8.4 million species of life, one cannot possibly understand the words Durlabho Manuso Deha. The human body is very rarely achieved. People are now being cheated of this essential understanding. They are completely unaware of the danger of slipping back into the 8 million species that lie below the human species. It is natural that a human being think in terms of progress. We want to feel that your life is progressing and that we are advancing in improving the quality of our life. Therefore, it is urgent that people be informed of the great danger of misusing the valuable human life and that they know of the great opportunity the human life affords, the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. Just as on earth, different residential areas are divided into high class, middle class and low class, within the universe, there are upper class, middle class and lower class planets. By practice of the yoga system or by meticulous execution of religious rituals, one can transfer himself to the higher planets within this universe. On the other hand, by neglecting religious principle, one will degrade himself to a lower planet. But the Supreme Lord Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvanar Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Thus the final conclusion is that every planet within the material universe is an unsuitable and inappropriate residence, because on each planet there are the primal defects, old age and death. The Lord assures us, however, that in this transcendental abode, which lies far beyond the material cosmos, life is everlasting, blissful and absolutely cognizant. The material world is temporary, troublesome, and rife with ignorance. But the spiritual world, called Vaikuntha, is eternal, blissful, and full of perfect knowledge. The highly evolved human brain is a gift given by God so that we may use our intelligence to distinguish between that which is eternal and that which is temporary. has stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:16, Nasato vidyato bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satah, ubayor api drustos antas, ta antu anyastatva darshibhihi. Those who are seers of truth have concluded that matter has permanent existence, whereas the spirit soul never ceases to exist. Learned seers have concluded this by studying the nature of both. Those who have accepted the Supreme Lord and His abode as the ultimate goal of life are called Vaikuntha Priya. Here King Nimi states that to have the personal association of such learned transcendentalists is certainly the perfection of human life. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that we consider the following verse. Na deham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karanadharam. You will continue.
Mayana kulyena dabasvateritam. Keep going.
Okay.
Please.
Mayanukena nabasvateritam puman bhavadim na taret sa atmaha. The Supreme Lord said, the best of bodies, a human body is a great attainment, rarely achieved, and may be compared to a boat. The Guru is an expert captain for this boat, and I have sent favorable winds, the Vedas. Thus I have given all facilities for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Any human being who has achieved these excellent facilities of human life but does not cross over the material ocean is to be considered the killer of his own self. Bhagavatam 11:20-17. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, being controlled by powerful feelings of mercy, descended into the material world as Vaishnavas to deliver the conditioned souls who are bound by the results of their own mundane work. Such Vaishnavas also distribute their mercy to those who are laboriously searching after the impersonal absolute. Sri Narad Muni has stated that without ecstatic love of Godhead, such laborious impersonal contemplation of the absolute is certainly troublesome. Naiskarmiyam api achyuta bhava varjitam. And what to speak of the innumerable problems of ordinary gross materialistic life. We have practical experience that in the Western countries, most people are working hard to get money, laboring under heavenly dreams of sense gratification. Others, having become frustrated with ordinary material life, are trying to negate their personal existence and merge into the existence of God through so-called yoga and meditation. Both classes of unhappy people are receiving the mercy of the Krishna consciousness movement, putting aside their dreams of sense gratification as well as their troublesome impersonal speculation. They are learning to chant the holy name of God, dance in ecstasy, and feast on the holy food offered to the Lord. They become enlivened by the transcendental knowledge spoken by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Susukham kartum avyayam. The actual process of spiritual freedom is joyful to perform and has nothing to do with fruitive activities aimed at sense gratification or with dry impersonal speculation. More and more people are talking to the process of Krishna consciousness, becoming joyful and eagerly distributing Krishna's mercy to others. Thus the whole world will be enlivened and inspired by the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the practical demonstration of the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. Can you read the verse again, please?
Yeah.
You only get one point if it's not in the microphone.
Durlabho manuso deho dehi nam kshanabhangurao tatrapi durlabham manye vaikuntha priyadarshanam.
Translation.
For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikunthas.
Thank you very much. What did you hear? Anything? Or should we read it again? Go ahead. Jai Keshava Prabhu, Hari Bol. We're still...
Where is he?
Just coming, just an announcement. We were coming from Los Angeles.
Can I start?
And there are a team of devotees who was the first leg of the team, major leg, was led by Jai Keshava Prabhu, who sat for about 5 days, 6 days total, and packed 20,000 books. 20,000 book packs. 10,000 book packs, 20,000 books altogether. 20,000 books. You know how many books that is? If we put 20,000 books in this room, how full would it be, Rakshit? He knows because he keeps them at his house. Half of this room full with books. And so that's how many books he packed, along with a huge team. He had a tent set up on the grass at Los Angeles.
Including Bhakta Matt.
Bhakta Matt. Hari Bol, Bhakta Matt. Welcome to ISV. Hare Krishna. And every time we'd look over there, there was groups of devotees swarming in to do service. And... Jai Keshava Prabhu sat there practically without moving for 6 days. He didn't leave his station. He was permanently situated there. Then more devotees came down from ISV, headed by Sri Krishna Purushottam, Damodar Prabhu, Damodar Vamsidhari Prabhu. Then there was Dimitri, and we had Manju Lakshmi came, Vinod. We'll get all the names when Sri Krishna Purushottam comes. And then they took over the logistics of making sure that the books all got distributed. So that was a big endeavor also, 20,000 books. Those packets went into larger bags, clusters of 10 and 20. And then those went into boxes. Those had to be transported down to the Rath Yatra site. They were set on top of on the backs of the Rath Yatra carts. And then during the Rath Yatra procession, when we looked out into the crowds of Santa Monica and Venice Beach, you saw nothing but people holding book packs in every direction. And during the procession, Balaram's wheel started to come loose. And so they had to stop the procession. The police cordoned off the area until they fixed the wheel, and they went again. Balaram got off his cart, got on Subhadra's cart, and then came in. Left his chariot behind. And when Damodar and the other devotees caught up, they were a little bit worried that they had put so many books on the cart that they had, you know, pushed the wheel off somehow. But it wasn't true. It was only a rumor that lasted for about an hour or so. And... there were several thousand books left by the time we got to the site, and those were all summarily distributed by the above-mentioned devotees. And our very own Yashoda Kumar and Nitya Divina came down and helped cook. They were working nonstop for a whole 5 days under Nirkula's direction. She had her whole team going down there for a whole week. Whole 5 days. The feast ended up serving out about 15,000 people. So 20,000 books and 15,000 plates of prasadam approximately. And and we're so fortunate, now we're getting ready for two more Rath Yatras. One on Friday night. There'll be a Friday night Rath Yatra with our newly built cart here at ISV, which will start at 6:59 down in Palo Alto. It's a beautiful, brand new cart, and all the kids will be there, and it'll be a very large Harinam Sankirtan performance. And then on Sunday, again, Lord Jagannath will be riding through Golden Gate Park in the traditional area where he's taken his procession for many, many years, ever since Srila Prabhupada was here. And that's another opportunity in Golden Gate Park this Sunday. What were you going to say, Jay Keshava?
I forgot. No. Maharaj is really not just given the point of the importance of association of devotees, but the practical things that happen in that association. That's what I got from this, from the purport. You know, distribution of prasadam, clearing doubts in people's heads, different claims from different people, and then how those doubts are cleared. Just showing the practicality of why this movement is here and what they're doing. You know, eating, tasting the holy food, hearing the good music, like that.
Thank you. What else did you hear? Yes.
Maharaj also points that out, that how Prabhupada mentions that it's a bluff, you know, that life comes from the chemicals, and how in the page 43 of Life Comes From Life, how it has explained more in detail that actually the life comes from life, not from the chemicals.
Thank you. Anything else you heard? Did he quote any verses in the purport? If so, what were they for 20 points? One was in the 8th chapter. Go ahead, Srivas Prabhu.
Nideham adhyam salabham sudurlabham was one verse. And then avinashistu tadvidhi yena sarvamidam tatam. Those are the two verses.
Also nasato vidite bhavo. Nabhavo vidite. Also abrahma bhuvanaloka punar avartunorjana. Right? Okay. And now we're going to recite the Sri Shapanishad. Actually, on your book stand, you'll have a blue book, as well as the Sri Shapanishad. And in that blue book, which is like a little binder, if you turn to the Meyer lemon yellow tab, first one, you'll see the Sri Shapanishad shlokas printed out, and we can chant from there. And before we start chanting, oh, it's pink, is it? Oh, sorry about that. The pink tab. If everyone can move up by 7.2 inches, that will clear enough space for the second wave of devotees who will be coming in a few minutes. Thank you. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Isavasam Yam Sarvam Yakincha Yakam Jaga Tena Yakena Bunjita Magrida Kasasvidhanam Kurvani Veha Karmani Tivishakshatam samaha evam twainanyate tosti karma lipite nare asurya namate loka andina tamasavritaha tamste pritya bigashanti yeti chama hano chanaha ane jade kamana sojavio naina deva nuvam purvanar shat Tadavato nyanate titishtat tashmina poma tarishva dadati tadejati tanaijati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya sibhayataha yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato navijakupsate Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vadbud vijanataha tatra ko mohakashoka ekat vammanupashyataha saparya chakshukram akayam avranam asnaviram shutam apapavitam kavirmani shiparyabhuswayambhur yatatya tator tan vyaradasya svatibhya samabhya andam tama pravishanti ye vidyamupasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya uvidyayam rataha anyadeva hur vidyaya anyadahur vidyaya iti shushu matiranam yenastad vichichakshire vidyam cha yas tadvedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirdva vidyayam ratum ashnute andam tama pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate tato puya ivate tamo ya u sambhutyam rataha anyadi bahur sambhavad anyadahura sambhavad iti shushu madhiranam enastad vichichakshire sambhutim cha vinasham cha yastad vedo bayam saha vinashenam ritun tirtva sambhutyam ritum ashnute hiranmayena patrena satyasa pihitam mukam tatvam pushana pavrenu satyadharmaya trishteye pushane karshayama surya prajapatya vyuharasmin samuha tejo yate rupam kalinatamam tat te prashami savasau purusha somasmi vayur anilam ate dam bashmantam sharinam the translations. Is anybody else missing one? What? Translation together. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way, for that sort of work will not bind him to love, karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain, he surpasses all in excellence. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. Those who engage in the culture of Nishit activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. So I've explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations. One who can learn the process of nations and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so to the worshippers of the impersonal absolute. So it is attained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and then another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explain it. Should know perfectly the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation, his temporary demigods, men, and animals. When one knows these, it surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it, and in the eternal kingdom of God, enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. Because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so there will be no hindrance to my progress. Is Acharya here? Somewhere? Okay. Just curious if he's coming back. Because if he's coming back, we'll sing more. If he can come. But if he's busy, it's all right. And second thing is, are there any questions so far? About anything? Yes. Where's the microphone?
Prabhuji, in verse number 14, its translation says that one should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So what is the meaning of perfectly knowing him, considering that he's infinite? So just wondering, is it just knowing our relationship that with him?
Your question is, I could barely hear you, but your question was that in Mantra 14, it says that one should know the personality of Godhead perfectly, right? And you said, what does it mean to know him perfectly?
Perfectly, considering that he's infinite.
Well, there's only one way that the infinitesimal can understand the infinite, and that is if the infinite reveals himself. So to know perfectly, one has to hear perfectly. One has to hear from the perfect person. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan manashraya asamshayam samagramam yata gyasasi tachinu jnanam teham savijnanam idam bhakshami sheshidha yajyatva nihapuyo naj gyatavyam bhavishishyate. That if you hear from me, then you'll understand everything, phenomenal, numinous. That means spiritual, material, everything you'll understand completely. by hearing from me, by attaching your mind to my instructions. So to know Krishna perfectly means to hear from him. And, of course, he can only be known to a certain extent. That is, however how much he reveals himself to us. Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstatayeva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanavartante manushya parta sarvasha. Everyone's in contact with Krishna. We all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. It's never severed. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. That's we're part and parcel of Krishna. But to the degree that we come to knowledge and then we surrender to Krishna, to that degree that we'll know him. And those who are perfect are perfect in loving Krishna. The devotees of the Lord who are on the highest platform aren't concerned about knowledge, so to speak. They are simply concerned with loving and serving Krishna. And Brahma, who's the most intelligent living being in the universe, tried to understand Krishna with his intellect. And afterwards, he became completely aware that he was just a tiny living creature compared to the infinite Supreme Lord. And he said, Jnani prayasamuda pasyanamanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stanesh stita shutigatam tanavan manobir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitaistri lokyam. That everyone should give up trying to understand Krishna through the intellect and should serve him and especially should hear in the association of devotees from Krishna. Or his representative. His representative means anyone who speaks what Krishna spoke and represents Krishna, represents what Krishna presented. That person, through the process of hearing, can come to know Krishna so intimately through the process of serving Krishna that jita, ajita becomes jita, means the unconquerable becomes conquered. So he can know Krishna in a very intimate way through his service and through his eternal relationship with Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte kara udoy. That relationship, that eternal relationship with Krishna is naturally there. And by the process of hearing, we purify ourselves from any of the coverings that block that relationship, and we can revive that relationship. And those who are fully reconnected with Krishna in that relationship are said to know Krishna perfectly through the process of hearing from the proper authority.
Thank you, Bhut.
Hare Krishna.